Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Focus of today's program is plumbing. Whether you're about to embark on a major overhaul or maybe you're just trying to fix a leaky faucet, it can be tough. You know, it's easy to get in over your head. Plumbing can be mysterious. I find it irritating. Well, here in the studio to help you out is Alan Ayers. He is the vice president of Crisafulli Brothers. He provides plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation, service, and maintenance. If you have a plumbing question, this is the time for you to call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Plumbing, right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk plumbing, maintenance, and repair today on the show and in the studio to answer your questions is Alan Ayers, vice president of Crisafulli Brothers. For 80 years, Crisafulli Brothers has provided plumbing, heating, and air conditioning design, installation, service, and maintenance to the Capital Region. The New York State Certified Women's Business Enterprise has been voted the best of the region each year since 2007, as well as a top workplace in 2018. If you have a plumbing question today, get in early. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir.
How have you been?
Excellent. How about you?
How's business?
Business is good, despite the weather not helping us at all.
Well, I mean, how can the weather hurt the I mean, when it's cold, it's probably better weather, but
Predictability is nice. If we can have standard seasons start and stop when they're supposed to, according to plumbing and heating contractors, we're happy.
Well, I tell you what, good to have you here. The lines are already loading up, so I say, why wait? Let's get right to the phones. 800-348-2551. Kathy in Seward, New York. Kathy, you're first.
Hi. This isn't really a plumbing question, or maybe it is.
Oh,
it's
boy.
About my well and the water that comes up. I mean, when I turn on the hot water, it's fine. It's perfect. I turn on the cold water, and initially it's okay, but then it gets a little aroma, and then that aroma goes away. And it, to my mind, it smells vaguely like sulfur. Why would that happen? Why would it just, like, be at the beginning and then no more?
I think sitting overnight, it may concentrate if it's sitting overnight or for any period of time, whatever contaminants you may or may not have in there. I would suggest that you definitely get a sample to a water purification specialist. There's a number of companies out there. There's national brands that I'm sure you're familiar with that you can contact, and they can test your water and tailor either a filter or you know, advise you that you don't need one.
But sulfur smell in itself is not necessarily something to panic about, right?
No, not at all.
I mean,
not
that I remember out in the
it's an
rural areas, you get that quite a bit.
Yeah, it's an annoyance. It's definitely not a health hazard.
Yeah, I used to live in a house that had sulfur water, and, you know, it didn't hurt anybody except for the aroma was, you know, not pleasant.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
All right. And I think that's the same situation here, but I don't understand why it should start and then go away.
It could be just a consolidation of it overnight, or again, if it's sitting for some time, that air will all kind of migrate to itself.
What do you mean by some time? I mean, this comes back, you know, within a half hour.
I guess in this case, some time would be about a half hour.
Well, that's a good answer.
Okay.
There you go. Well, thanks, Kathy, for the call. 800-3. Well played, sir. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Ryan in Malta. Ryan, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Alan. I've
Hi,
got
Ray.
An old house where plumbing is a retrofit. And I turn on the cold water, and it gets warmer and warmer. And eventually it gets almost hot, and then eventually goes to cold.
Hmm.
What is there a missing check valve somewhere or something?
There's two things I would check.
What?
If you have any faucets, like it would be like a maybe a service sink or a slop sink in a basement or garage, where you have something connected to it with a Y fitting. A lot of times people have cleaning stations connected with hot and cold water. I would check that connection. And that's probably most likely not the case. So if that's not the case, then I would go right to your water heater. Most likely the dip tube in the water heater is cracked or broken. So rather than the cold water going all the way down to the bottom of the tank to be heated by the flames, it's actually hot water's going through the cold water on the top of the tank. So and the dip tube, you could probably YouTube it. It's relatively easy fix if you're handy. And you can unscrew something and put a new dip tube in, and you should be good to go.
Okay, so, well, ours is a joined boiler system, so we have it on the boiler.
I would look at how old your boiler is, and you might be getting some hot and cold water migration through that heat exchanger in the boiler. And that would be concerning.
Like a crack.
Correct. Yep.
Ah, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Plumbing today on Vox Pop. Alan Ayers of Crisafulli Brothers is here. And let's go to Mark in Hartwick. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, I have radiant heat in my house, and it's in the ceilings and the floors. And in the ceilings, you can see the tubes, like, kind of through the plaster now, and it's leaking a little bit. I have a little bucket underneath. It's not a lot. It just comes out sporadically now and then, not continuously, and it kind of seems like it's antifreeze or some kind of, it's not just water, it's like mixed with a chemical. How would I go about getting something like that fixed? Do I have to rip the ceiling down, or can you start in another place? I've called two plumbers and none of them really deal with radiant heat, you know, that's already installed. They do it more if they, you know, a new system, putting it into a new house.
Mark, unfortunately, I don't have a great answer for you. If I were to look at it, I would suggest removing a portion of the ceiling so that we can take a look at the tubing and see where the repairs are needed. And unfortunately, oftentimes it's more than one hole. We end up having to kind of chase that leak around a little bit. There's nothing comfortable about.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, right. One person used the word nightmare.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, sorry, Mark.
I would definitely just make sure you find a reputable contractor, and it may cost a little bit more up front than you're anticipating, right. But in the long run, it'll probably be a better choice.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. So there is radiant heat available for ceilings as well?
Yeah, I'm assuming that the customer was talking about the radiant heat for the floor above.
Ah, I was going to say, that wouldn't
right.
seem to
However,
be really...
However, in Europe, they do a lot of radiant heats from the ceiling.
Really?
Yep.
I thought hot air rises. All right. Well, that'll be for another show, I guess, physics show.
Perfect. There.
Let's go to Emma in Menands. Emma, you're on.
Yes. Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi, Emma.
I have a problem with water pressure in my house. Some of the faucets have good water pressure and some do not. And I can't figure it out.
I would bet my last dollar that the faucets that don't have good pressure have an aerator that needs to be cleaned. Something really simple. There's a screen right at the outlet of the faucet. And if you unscrew that aerator, you'll see the screen is probably plugged with a little bit of sediment over there.
Well, yes, I actually have done that. And the places where I don't have good water pressure is my kitchen and the outside hose.
Hmm.
And the outside hose is near the kitchen?
Well, near is a relative, yeah. It's fairly. It's on the same side of the house.
Okay.
I think we should look underneath the kitchen sink and see what's going on underneath there. Maybe a kinked line. It may be a valve that we believe is open, but in actuality is somewhat shut.
Ah, interesting.
It would take a little bit of on-site investigation.
Okay.
All right, Emma.
What about the...
go ahead.
What about the hose, the outside hose?
My guess is they're going to be related to the same valve.
Ah, interesting. Possibly connected there, Emma. All right, well, thanks for the call. Number's 800-348-2551. Plumbing Today on the show, and Alan Ayers is here to answer your questions. And now we go over to Susan in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on.
Hi, this is a perfect topic for me because I'm just getting ready to do a bathroom renovation.
Ah.
My question is, I'm on the verge of ordering the plumbing fixtures, in other words, the faucets and the handles and everything for the shower and the vanity, the water spigots. When I did a renovation 10 years ago, they told me the same thing they're telling me now, is that I should always order my fixtures through the plumber and the plumbing supply place instead of Home Depot or Lowe's. Because Home Depot and Lowe's make stuff out of plastic, where the plumbing supply places make them out of brass or better materials.
Well, thank you for mentioning them by name. I'm sure they'll be very pleased to hear that.
That's
all right. Go ahead, Alan.
I would encourage all homeowners, if they're going through a renovation or buying fixtures or faucets, to go to a plumbing supply house. And for the very same reason you mentioned. The box stores or other retail outlets are geared towards price-conscious shoppers, and they definitely give out a product as inexpensively as they can. It looks the same. It may have the same spelling, made by the same manufacturer, but the products are dramatically different.
Okay. Just to make sure that we don't get sued here, mm-hmm. Personally, I have...
My apologies.
No, it's okay. I have purchased things from these box stores and put them in plumbing-wise, and they do work. I mean,
for sure.
Okay. It's a... let's take a break. Hey, Susan, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. We don't mean to tell anybody that the big box stores aren't wonderful. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Oh, yeah, Frank Rosolino on the old trombone there. You know, Alan Ayers, when I used to play trombone years ago, I used to occasionally use the old plunger as a mute. Plunger mute.
Yep.
That's the only thing I could really use a plunger properly for. You know, you should tell people before we get to the emails and the phones, it's not a good idea to use a plunger on a toilet.
It's really not a great idea.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you why. But why don't you tell us?
Honestly, a plunger, it will only relieve the immediate bowl issue and send it further down the line.
Yeah.
It'll give you a false sense of hope.
Yeah, and if you do it wrong, you're going to have water. Well, it's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing.
Tried it on an upstairs toilet one time.
Yeah.
There was water coming down from the ceiling, and it wasn't very good.
Well, let me know next time. I got a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. I won't make that mistake twice, I tell you that. This email came in from Kim. Kim writes, can I get a shock from my kitchen sink water? I do have a garbage disposal. It only happens at the sink.
Yes.
Apparently, she's already gotten the shock at the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I would be a little bit concerned about that.
I would be terrified. Water and electricity, not a great combo.
No, not a great thing.
Kim.
So I would definitely get a plumber in there to take a look at that.
And or an electrician. Well, I mean, maybe there's a little problem with the wiring on the old garbage disposal. This one's from Nancy on Bob and Wilton. And they write, we have a driven well about 25 to 30 feet deep, and the water has the high minerals but also high sodium. It was found safe to drink but unpalatable. It can't be used in the garden. How do we filter out the minerals as well as the sodium? Is there any system you have seen that succeeds in this? If it is possible, where do we locate the filters or system in order to have it for both indoor and outdoor use?
I really wish I could help them, but I am not an expert in water filtration.
Mm.
I would suggest, again, they take that sample to a local water filtration purification company.
Interesting. So they have minerals. Interesting that you can drink it, but you can't put it on the garden. I would not drink it then. If you can't,
it has
put
me
it on,
curious. Definitely has me curious.
All right. This one from Mark, and then we'll get back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Mark writes, I have a leaking hot water faucet in my bathtub. I want to fix it, but I cannot find a shutoff valve. I'm guessing it might be inside the wall. Before starting a repair, should I try making a hole Should I try making a hole in the wall to search for a shutoff valve, or would you simply turn off the water to the entire house? How would you proceed, and is a hot water leak any danger to my water heater?
I would say definitely just turn off the whole house and the water heater.
Yeah.
To avoid any kind of damage or having, you know, additional repairs to the wall when you make the opening and find there's no valve there, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Oak Island treasure hunt. You just dig holes in the ground looking for something. It's not the best plan. So, you know, maybe shut the whole water thing off. And, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Alan Ayers of Chris Foley Brothers here to answer your plumbing questions. Marty in Tannersville. Marty, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you very much.
Hi, Marty.
I have a house that has 7 zones, and 5 of the zones have radiant heat. The problem is I tend to get air in the heating system. I've tried expansion tank is new, the water separator is new. I tried moving the circulator before the zone and after the zone, but occasionally I still get 1 or 2 zones where all of a sudden I get air in it, and I don't get heat until I bleed it. And then it's fine for a few days. So how do I cure this problem?
I've had this myself, and it's taken me some time to find where the leak is. You have a leak somewhere in your system. Could be at the boiler, under the jacket of the boiler, a valve, a bleeder on one of the radiators. It could be literally anywhere in your system. The fact that most heating systems today are closed-loop systems, meaning once they're filled and actually filled 100%, there's no chance of air being in the lines or just developing in the lines unless you have an open leak. So I would – it's going to require a lot of patience and determination to find that leak, especially when it's so small.
Okay. Is there any type of thing I can add to the zone that automatically bleeds the air?
There are some air separators that you can install, but I don't think that's going to actually repair the problem. It'll probably mask the problem. I would really suggest a little bit of patience and determination. You'll find it, I'm sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Marty. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Alan Ayers is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. And Bill in Clifton Park. Bill.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have a reverse osmosis system under my sink in the kitchen, and it has 3 filters on it, a pre-filter, a bladder, and then a post-filter. And whenever we use the faucet that's particular to that system, lately, after the faucet's turned off, we continue to hear a gurgling sound in our waste coming out of the waste side of the sink. I'm replacing the filters, but wondering if there's an expansion tank in the downstairs and ceiling, whether that could be, there could be something with that, or do you have any experience with this? Could you give me any advice?
I'm not familiar, or I'm not sure which reverse osmosis system you have, but many of them have a regenerating feature where there's a lot of byproduct, a lot of wastewater that is recirculated back down the drain, and it may be connected underneath your sink and to a drain, like very much like a dishwasher.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it goes in.
Yeah, so after use, it is going through its cycle and just getting rid of all the wastewater.
So it's okay. Mm-hmm.
It should be 100% okay.
Okay. The only thing, it's fairly noisy, and that's really what I'm trying to deal with.
Yeah. If your system's been tested and you require that filter, then we could maybe put it in a different location, move it to the basement or something like that. Otherwise, maybe just a filter system that's not a reverse osmosis system would be fine as well if you find the noise uncomfortable.
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Plumbing today, Alan Ayers is here from Chris Foley Brothers, and we go to Yvette in Fonda.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a very interesting problem. I have a double-wide trailer that's older. The bathroom that is used by the main part of the house actually clogs up after about every 10 flushes. And use the plunger, plunge it out, it flushes fine. And then all of a sudden it does it over again. And I don't know if it's something wrong with the toilet or if there's something wrong with the drainage.
Based on what you're telling me, my first guess would be it's a drainage issue, not a toilet issue.
Outside drain from the house. Yeah.
Most likely underneath. Yeah. And a lot of trailers I've worked underneath have had some creative plumbing.
Yeah. Will they all have the standard air traps?
Yes. And they also have a precarious way of putting fittings together where they're not sweeping motion or more of a T and a hard.
Right. So right angles.
Things effluent to flow.
Yep.
So most of the time that when customers say every 10 years something is happening or every 10 flushes something's happening, it's more than likely a fitting that's either in backwards or too harsh.
Now, it's funny. At my house, we had an issue with the outside drain at one point. And our regular plumber said, oh, you got to call outside plumbers for this, who just do outside drains. Yeah. It was quite something to watch. It took a while to get this done.
Yeah.
Without ripping up the floorboards, which was option two. And I said, no, let's try the other way.
Right. Luckily for this caller, I think just access underneath the home is going to do it.
Okay.
What a pretty good, quick investigation.
Yeah, definitely have access underneath the home. Does it mean that maybe the pipe isn't tilted enough? Because I've had someone underneath there. It doesn't look like it's leaking. It just doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
It's hard for him to say without looking at it, but
yeah,
you can make a guess.
Yeah, I would really just say, you know, call one of the more reputable or popular plumbers in your area and have them take a look at it.
All right, Yvette. Hey, good luck with that. Sounds like it might have fairly easy access, so hopefully it won't cost you an arm and a leg. Number is 800-348-2551. Plumbing today, and let's go to Terry in Albany. Terry.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday.
But
happy birthday, dear Alan. Happy birthday to you.
Ah, somebody didn't tell us it was his birthday. Who is
Fantastic.
This? Is this the gang from work?
This is the crew, Chris and Foley Brothers.
Hey, well, thanks for calling.
Our pleasure.
Very nice. So it's your birthday.
It is.
And you're here on the show.
Of course.
That's dedication, man. That is great. Appreciate that. Happy birthday. Many happy returns.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go to the next line. And Dave and Gardner. Dave.
Hey, birthday boy. I'm working today, too. Don't feel bad. Hey, guys. Hey, I got a really simple question for you, Alan. I'm going to be building a single-level house soon. And I've always questioned the difference between the radiant heat and on-demand heat. I'm sorry, that's my GPS talking in the background.
Okay, turn off the GPS, Dave. Okay.
I just did. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, man.
So it's not a matter of efficiency. You know, I'm not looking to save money on either making the system or the way the system operates. It's more of, you know, the comfort, because with radiant heat, I'm thinking that if I just want to take the chill out, like this morning was 40 degrees out when it should be 60, right? You know, do I have to power this thing up and heat up all the floors just to take the chill out? I mean, that's the difference I'm looking
for.
Well,
Dave, I'll give you my take. I personally enjoy radiant heat. I find it to be more comfortable, more evenly heated. And once your home is heated up to whatever the degree it is, 60 degrees, 70 degrees, 75 degrees, all the furniture and wall hangings and everything becomes a radiator of the heat, and you have less up and down. It's a lot slower up and down.
Yeah.
I would, if I was building a house tomorrow and another one next year, each one of them would have radiant heat for sure.
And so just to take the chill out, I got radiant heat and I don't want to wait for it to power up and heat up. Do I need to have regular, let's say, you know, the wall hung units to take the chill out?
No.
You know, like reverse heat pump units?
I think if you're going where I think you're going, if you do a more than an 8-degree setback at night or vacation, or it's going to take a little bit of while. You're going to have to be patient for the heat to come back up and running. But that's less efficient than just maintaining. Yeah, if you like 70 degrees and you go on vacation, just put it at 62 and know that you're not spending a whole ton of money. It'll take
Understood.
Less time.
And with that, tying into that, is the on-demand the way to go?
The most efficient boiler you can afford would be the way to go. If you can find a 98% efficient condensing tank type boiler, great. Yeah. Use that one. But the most that efficiency rating is key. That's for a 98% efficient boiler is saying 98 cents out of every dollar you put into it's giving you heat.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. If you have a question for the birthday boy, Alan Ayers, and let's go to Daniel in Woodstock. Oh, can you turn the radio down, Daniel?
Yes, it's off.
Okay, go ahead.
Question for you. With the new PEX fittings, they just redid, their lead amount in the fittings. And I used 95.5 solder to solder the copper end to a radiator system. And the copper sucked all the sweat all the way in, 3/4, all the way around, bonded to the copper, fine. But to the brass fitting of the PEX, it didn't bond. I was wondering if you came up with that issue using 95.5.
I haven't come up with that issue yet.
What's 95.5?
It's a 95% alloy and 5% tin.
Okay.
It's a composite of solder.
All right.
I would look at your means and methods, actually, to be honest with you. Making sure it's super clean is important. And brass, I tend to do flux and heat it up to like preheat, if you will, and then reflux and solder. That's what I tend to do.
So you flux, you preheat, and then solder.
Yeah.
All right, because I usually never had, like, all the copper, like copper to copper, sweated just fine. It bonded. But literally, it was the PEX company from Mooresboro just switched their lead content in their fittings.
Right.
And, like, and every single one, the sweat came through, but there'd be, like, a slew.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll just dump that one out then. Thanks, Zach. Our number is 800.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thanks a lot for the call. And now let's go over to Greg in Hadley, Massachusetts. Greg.
Good afternoon. You recently took a phone call about someone who's having sodium problems with their well.
Yeah.
Those people are up against a hard choice. The reason they can taste the sodium before it's hazardous is that the levels from the EPA for sodium are higher than the taste bud threshold. So you're going to taste it before it becomes hazardous to you.
She smelled it. She didn't taste it. She smelled it.
Well, same situation. If it's aerated, it'll come out. They'll be able to smell it. Now, they are up against two different situations. They wanted to use it inside and outside. If they want to use it inside, the only filtration system that'll take sodium and dissolve minerals out is reverse osmosis. But the problem with that is you don't get gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water. You only get basically used for domestic purposes, and you can run out of fresh water before you make more fresh water. Their other problem is going to be with high sodium levels. They have copper plumbing in their house. Over time, that is going to clog up and eat through the copper pipes, their fittings. And if they have a boiler, it is also going to cause problems with the boiler eating through the internals. My only recommendation is get themselves a contract with a freshwater supplier for drinking.
Okay.
But you cannot really remove sodium properly,
Greg,
from water.
Well, Greg, thanks a lot for that. Any comments you want to make on that, Alan?
No, I appreciate the education, Greg.
Thanks a lot. Our number is 800-348-2551. Quickly over to Nikki, and then we'll take a break. Nikki in Wilmington, you're on.
Yes, I have a toilet that I think has a leak around the little cap that lifts up in the back tank, you know, to the water goes out there.
Yeah, you can hear it trickling through a little bit sporadically.
It must be because the water in the tank keeps lowering down right to that level.
Yeah.
And then I can't flush the toilet, and then I just have to flick it and it fills up and I can flush the toilet. So I've tried wiping underneath that to see if there was residue. I've done that. It still's doing it. Any suggestions?
It's time for replacement.
Yeah.
It's a wearable item, and like any gasket, it's got a life expectancy.
Would you just buy the whole unit with the float and everything?
No, I would just do the flapper.
Okay.
Just the flapper's fine.
They're cheap.
You can turn the water off, remove the flapper, bring it to your plumbing supply house and get a new one.
Can I complain about the flappers for a minute, having replaced a few of my time?
Sure.
You know, you buy one, you go to the store, and it's universal flapper. And you get it back, and it's not a universal flapper. It's universal to some things, which would make it not universal. So it's better to kind of check in advance, Nikki. Learn from my mistakes.
Okay, I'll do that. And this tank has a, I don't know what it's called, but the flapper's raised up a little bit, like a low flow, so you're not using as much water.
Right.
Should I replace both the flapper and the kind of the column underneath it?
I don't think it's going to be necessary. I think you're going to be able to get out of this one pretty inexpensively and just replace the flapper.
Well, Nikki,
that's what I,
thank
that's
you
what
so
I like
much.
To hear.
Appreciate the call. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is our number. Alan Ayers is our guest. It's Plumbing Today on the program. We'll be right back. You know what dedication is? You know what you dedicated to plumbing? When you show up for a radio show for which you are not paid to give people advice about plumbing on your birthday. And that's what Alan Ayers has done here from Chris Foley Brothers. Happy birthday, Alan. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Ray.
Number is 800-348-2551. If you have a plumbing question, just don't ask him his age. He's very touchy about that. Let's go to Rich in Greenwich. Rich, you're on.
Hey, how you doing today? Happy birthday.
Thank you, Rich.
So the question is, we had a new sink put in, new kitchen sink put in. It has an inline vent, and since the new sink went in, it's not draining properly. So I took the inline vent out and bought a new one, put it in, and it's still not draining properly. I took it off and sucked and blew on the vent itself, and it was working just fine. So why isn't my sink draining the way it's supposed to?
Rich, have you tried to watch the sink drain without the vent in at all? So just open
yes,
pipe?
Yes, it drains perfect.
You might want to increase the size. They do sell those vents in a larger size. Typically, it's probably inch and a half is the size that you have.
Right.
I would go with a 2-inch vent, see if you can get some more air in there. It's definitely a vent
2-inch vent. Okay, so yep. I'd have to increase the piping from that.
Yeah, otherwise you could research a loop vent or post vent. They use those on kitchen islands, which is a non-mechanical atmospheric vent. It's just a manner of piping it that you might want to consider as well.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you for your advice, and I hope your birthday's great for you.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
I'm sure it'll get better once he gets out of Studio A. Let's go to Carolyn in Red Hook. Carolyn, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call, and happy birthday to the guy doing some of the work. I have a quick question. We have two toilets, and one has a Fluid Master. I guess it's a brand name, and the other has another device in it. Neither of them have balls, but they have tiny little floats. The other one's called a Corky anti-siphon. But anyway, we had work done on them over a year ago, and this guy replaced those two pieces, the guts, that manipulates the whole action of the inside of the tank.
Right.
And they do this, both of them do this chugging thing. They're not continuously filling, and they have this little song, and they have pauses in between, and it takes a long time before it finishes filling the tank.
Okay.
So what's going on?
It sounds to me like you have low water pressure.
Uh-huh.
And low water pressure, but not with our sinks and our showers and our any other faucets we use. You're saying just the toilets themselves?
Yeah, I would exercise the valves for the toilet. Underneath the left-hand side of the toilet is the service valve.
Yeah.
I would close that.
Yep, it wasn't all the way open. I'm just turning it.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Thank
you, Carolyn. You see, that's what we do. That's immediate right there. That's beautiful. Let's go to Mary in Forestburg. Mary, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a house filter, house water filter, because I have extremely hard water, and we have well water and a lot of sediment. And I can't get an answer on how often it should be changed. I hear everything from if I have low water pressure, or maybe every 3 months, or maybe every 6 months.
Can you describe to me how large it is?
How large is the filter?
It's not very large at all. You know, it's like a cotton Omni filter. You know, maybe 2-3 inches in diameter.
Right.
Maybe about 8 inches long.
Okay, so a little bit smaller in diameter than a coffee can, if you will.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I would probably change it every 3 months.
Every three.
Yeah, four
now,
times
one
a year.
Other quick question in regards to this. When I do change it, it's a white filter. It immediately becomes black. And when I do change it, there's so much sediment in the glass bottle itself that I'm wondering, you know, should my well perhaps be, I don't want to say drained, but should there not be some cleaning of that prior to the insertion of the filter system? I mean, it's black. It's literally black.
Well, your filter is probably filled with carbon, which is black in itself. And what you're seeing is the wet carbon now coming to within a line of vision. I think it's perfectly normal.
Okay.
Okay, listen, I appreciate your time.
Mary, thanks for the call. Alan Ayers is here today from Chris Cifulli Brothers. Our number is 800-348-2551 on this plumbing edition of Vox Pop. We go to Rebecca in Warrensburg. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, thanks for taking my call and happy birthday. I have a quick question. I live in a chalet-style home built in the 70s. It's three floors, and I live mainly... My bathroom is on the bottom floor, which is like would be considered a finished basement. For some reason, my bathroom sink smells when I put the water on. None of the other sinks smell. It's well water. Everything else seems to be great. But there's like this funky smell that comes out of the sink in the bathroom. And I'm wondering... Could it be, I often get annoyed, my parents come to visit, which is great, and they tend to, like, not chain, when they're doing dishes upstairs in the kitchen sink, they don't scrape the plates as much, and I'm always like, no, guys, we really, you know, it's a different world here, we got to scrape, and then empty the stupid filter while you're doing your dishes, this is not, you know, and I'm thinking, could it be... The food stuff's going from one to the next and hanging out there. Is there a way to like put something like baking soda in it and like do a scrub or what? Or could it be the fact that when the guys put on our new roof, they didn't widen the vent? The vent's only a 2-inch PVC instead of, I think it's supposed to be 3.
Rebecca, do you have a pump in the basement in that lower level? That
on that main floor, I have, a pump and then, then the hot water heater.
Yeah, I think your culprit is going to be the vent for the pump that's adjacent to the bathroom or the pump itself. There's a seal there. I'm familiar with the type of home you're talking about, and we've experienced that before too.
It would mean just replacing the seal itself?
Finding where the air is coming out of the pump tank, either the vent itself
or
the seal. Yeah, it's going to take maybe some silicone around the whole tank lid should solve it, too.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got a great guy. He's wonderful. He's been with me since he was a child and then his father before me. And we've often discussed it. So I guess I'll just tell him what you said. So possibly...
Cool. Seal up that tank for the pump. Yeah.
Okay, fabulous. Listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rebecca. And now we go to Glenn in Salem, New York. Glenn, you're on.
Hi. I just had a response for you on the sodium in the water.
Oh, yeah.
The prior the prior caller knows a lot more about toxicity to humans, and humans aren't generally are tolerant of sodium to some levels, but plants in the garden are not.
Interesting.
They are not sodium or salt tolerant, and so if you try to use a water which has a lot of salt in it in watering the garden, you'll kill the plant.
Oh, well, it makes sense. Yeah, that, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Glenn. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and it's Plumbing Today with the birthday boy, Alan Ayers. And now we go over to Jamie in Albany. Jamie.
Hey, how you guys doing? Appreciate you taking my call. My question has nothing to do with sodium.
Yay!
But it does have...
Jamie, you're the best.
So when we take a shower in the morning, the first shower is kind of tepid, you know, not freezing cold, but every shower after that is pretty hot. So I'm just wondering, is this portend an issue with our hot water heater? Is there anything that we need to do or anticipate in terms of replacement or anything we can do in the interim?
Let me ask, what type of water heater do you have? Do you know what kind of water heater? Is it a tank gas water heater, or
it's
is it
tank.
Part of your boiler?
Yeah, it's a tank. We've been in the house for about almost 11 years, and it, you know, it was in the house when we moved in. So, but it is a tank.
Okay. Chances are there's a thermostat to maintain the temperature of your water tank. And overnight, oftentimes, an old and tired thermostat gets a little bit dull with sensitivity.
Yeah.
And it won't sense that the water temperature is decreasing by 10 or 12 or 15 degrees overnight enough to ignite the fire and reheat it. So that's why the first person in the morning takes the warm shower and everybody else gets a hot shower.
Ha.
So it's probably a thermostat that, that's you know, integral to the water heater. And anything over 10 years old, I would definitely suggest it's time for replacement.
That was what I was going to say. Yeah. That's an alarm bell right there.
Yeah, 10 years is the magic number. If you
You'll see ones, it's a 12-year tank, right?
Sure you will.
Well, yep. How come they don't last 12 years, Mr. Plumber?
I see a lot of kids run across the street without getting hit by a car, too.
You know what? All right. Let's go to Suzanne in Guilderland. Suzanne, you're on.
Hi, my name is Suzanne, and I've got a question about toilets.
Yay.
I've got three toilets in the house, and only one of them has got brown stains, and they're crusty brown stains.
Oh,
and
tremendous.
They're right where the... yeah, I know. But it's not. Debris.
I know. I got you.
It's where the water comes in, and then where the water goes out.
Yep.
And it's crusty brown stains. Mm. What would that be?
It's probably the water closet that gets the most use. That's going to be my guess. And that constant flow of water is friction, and the water in Guilderland can tend to have a little bit more mineral deposits in it than some other towns.
You know, Suzanne makes a point, though. We have a second bathroom that doesn't get as much use, and that has the same issue with water stains.
Where the water comes out of the rim and
it's
where
in
exits.
The bowl. I mean,
in the bowl could
no,
be...
it's in the bowl. Yeah, it's like where the water comes in and where the debris goes out.
Okay, so that could be a scratched porcelain surface from a previous maintenance.
Maybe.
And it kind of, once it's scratched,
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know about Suzanne, but I think in our case, no. I mean, I think it's water related in some way, and I don't know. I've never been able to explain it. It's just
It's weird that it's in some one toilet and not the other.
Yeah,
toilet.
That's
the odd thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Is that upstairs or downstairs, Suzanne?
Upstairs.
Yeah, that's with us too. That's very, very interesting.
I have a riddle to solve now.
All right. Well, on the next show, it'll be, you know, a couple few months. Alan will be able to tell us why that happened, Suzanne.
Yeah. Is there a way that I can get rid of it? Like drain the toilet and put down, like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know, some calcium deposit
thing? You could try an abrasive cleaning product on the porcelain. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it might work for a little while.
They make specialty. Yeah, right. They make specialty cleaners for porcelain.
Suzanne, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Now we go over to Stephen in Great Barrington. Stephen.
Hi, how you doing today?
Okay.
So I have a question about my water pressure, because when I'm taking a hot shower, there's not a lot of water pressure in the upstairs shower, but the water pressure generally seems to be okay. Just wondering if there's something I should be thinking about with my water heater.
I would first start by checking any and all valves in the house, exercise them, close them, then open them all the way. You may find a valve that is half closed for any number of reasons. I find that, you know, it's the simplest things that really stump us the most.
Yeah.
And that would be the first start. Second would be to find the date manufacturer code of your water heater. And if that's over 10 years old, you might want to consider replacing it.
Where is the date usually stamped?
There's one nameplate down by the burner, typically, and
yeah.
It looks like a serial number.
It'll have the date on
something
it.
Something official.
Okay.
So they did some work on the water system. It's town water, and the water pressure got real bad for about 12 hours. And when it came back, it didn't really come back all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, it's much worse in that upstairs shower. So I will check the valves and such, but I just wasn't sure if there was anything else that might be worth considering.
I would check the shower head then. Now that you're saying it's been disrupted, maybe there's sediment in your shower head. You could take that off with a, you know, an adjustable wrench.
So the town did work outside, Stephen?
Yeah, the whole neighborhood. They sent out an email. Water pressure would be low or really low for a day. And it came back, but it just never really seemed to be 100% after that in the upstairs shower. So I'll take that off.
Yeah, you might have just some sediment in that screen there, very much like the aerator on a kitchen faucet, too.
Stephen, thanks for the call. Let's see if we can grab a couple of more here before we wrap it up. And we go over to Matt in Hoosick Falls. Matt.
Let me turn this down.
Good plan, man. Good plan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was wondering, seeing how you are one of the largest employers of plumbers in the Albany area, if you had ever thought about signing with Local 7, the union, or they have an A and a B book for commercial and light residential plumbing.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate
Thanks for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. And now we go to Sue in Albany. Sue. Hello, Sue. No? No, Sue.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, sorry, let me get you off speaker.
Oh, great.
Yes, so I have a question. I have an old house, and my nephew was painting, and he washed some of the brushes in one of the bathroom sinks, and now it's pretty clogged. We've tried with the liquid plumbers and things like that, snaking it, and nothing.
Oh, you might require the help of a professional. We may have to come in and remove the P-trap and then take a look and see if it's there's enough buildup to necessitate somebody getting there with a mechanical machine, like a sewer snake, if you will, or something like
right.
that, and cleaning that paint,
so
breaking
paint,
that paint up.
The paint will just clog the whole thing?
If it was left overnight, it would dry, very much like.
Even if it's water-based paint? Oh. What is it, latex paint?
Yeah, latex paint, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we didn't realize it until probably days later.
Oh, yeah, boy.
I would suggest maybe, you know, if you have a handyman or somebody else you rely on, have them take the P-trap off. That would be my first guess. You might be able to get away with just that.
Well, I guess that's where we will have to leave it. And thanks to everybody who called. Support comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, celebrating 30 years of protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 35 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration, lglc.org. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams, offices in Amherst, Greenfield, at Springfield, stavros.org for more information. Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts, locally stocked comfort food, beers, wine, and cocktails. Live music every Friday, ChesterCommonTable.com. At Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, AshfieldStone.com. Thanks again to Alan Ayers for taking an hour out of his birthday to join us today. And thank you for listening. Great calls today. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Amber Sickles for answering the phones. And our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, physical therapist Matthew Goodemote joins us at 2 p.m. You got a little sore shoulder. Maybe your knee is acting up. Save it. Call us tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for the book show.